us. Our scripture affirmation today comes from 2 Kings, and this is an amazing story. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, "Turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets." And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Also, Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel which they made. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we look at this very sobering piece of scripture here, and we recognize that today you want to speak something to us. You want us to take this seriously. You want us to understand deeper than we've understood before, and you want our hearts to be turned completely towards you. We're excited about the opportunity that we can come boldly to the throne of grace today, so that you might open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, that we might grasp your truth for your glory. Today, Lord, be honored, be glorified in this place. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Grateful that your mercy is more. We are so grateful that in spite of who we are, in spite of what we've done, in spite of the ways that we have screwed up, in spite of all of the stuff that goes on around us, in spite of the circumstances that we find ourselves in spite of all of that, your mercy still prevails. Your mercy still prevails. And we are so grateful and we are so thankful, Lord, and we ask that you would show us what that means and how we are to now live in the midst of this amazing mercy. Have your way this day, Father, in Jesus' name. 17th chapter of 2 Kings, starting at the 7th verse, this is just a fascinating thing. Here, these are the people of God that he is talking about, the people of God who have seen so many wonderful, great, and mighty things that God has helped them in, delivered them in, called them by his grace, done all of this stuff, and yet they find themselves in this place. You ever wonder sometimes, how do you find yourself in this place? How did we get here? Well, let's look at how they got there, and then maybe we'll talk about how we got here. For so it was, verse 7, chapter 17, for so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God. Sometimes we like to, you know, parse up all these different sins and look at them, and this is a sin against that, and this is a sin against that, and this is a sin against that. But we need to remember, we need to be like David, even in the midst of his confession, even in the midst of his understanding of what he had done when he had sinned with Bathsheba and killing her husband. Even in the midst of all this, he says, I have sinned against thee and thee only. Every sin that you commit is a sin against a sovereign, holy God. Don't think this is just a little thing and I don't like them anyway, so I can sin against them. Or don't think that I can sin against that because, well, it's just a government agency. Or don't think that you can just sin against that because, well, there's something else other than me. No, every sin that you sin, every sin that I sin is against a holy God. Remember, we are his people. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them out of the land of Egypt. He had rescued them out of the bondage that they were in. They had been in bondage for 400 years. They were there caught in a place where they were slaves to the circumstance that they were around. They were in their Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. They sinned. They listened to other voices. They sinned. They began to think that there were other solutions to help them. They sinned. They believed that there were things in this world that they could call upon that would alleviate the things that were harming them, change their circumstance, change their situation. They depended on something other than God himself. They feared other gods and walked in the statutes of the heathen. They just became just like the heathen. We're gonna make it so that they don't even notice us. We'll just be like them. They walked in the statutes of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel and the kings of Israel, which they had made. They had defeated all of this stuff, and now they were bowing down to it. There's so many things that we had escaped from, so many things that we didn't have to be a part of that were already defeated, and we decided that we wanted to be a part of that. We decided we wanted to give in to the foolishness of this world. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. Sometimes we can do things on the down low. We don't think anybody really knows that we don't treat our wife well. We don't think anybody really knows that, well, we're just peeking in on this stuff on the internet. We don't think anybody really knows how we live in our home. We don't think anybody really knows that we don't do the best we can at the task that we've set our hand to on our job or in our neighborhood. We think that we're getting away with it. We think that it's okay for us to live that way. We think that it's okay for us to slide into life rather than proactively do the right thing. We think that's what they thought. They were doing secretly the things that were not right against the Lord, and they built them high places in all their cities. They had places that were special. They had places that they worshiped. Some people worship the bar. I just got to, you know, at the end of the week, I just got to make sure that I can relax. Some people worship sex. Some people worship sports. Friday, listen, I wouldn't dare try to have something on Friday evening here in Garrettsville. Because there are people out there that are screaming for their God, and it's not the one that's in here. I probably shouldn't say that. It's probably not nice. I'm so sorry. No, I'm not. I'm not sorry, but I probably will be. Okay, so and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. You know, from the watchman from out in the country where they were watching for the marauders that were coming to inside the city where there were fortresses built. They were everywhere. There's all of this stuff is going on. Verse 10, and they set them up images and groves in every high hill and on every green tree. They had fallen fully back into idolatry. And there they burnt incense in all the high places. They were worshiping. He said, the people of God, they know they're the people of God. They call themselves the people of God, and they're worshiping something else. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. I hate to tell you, God gets ticked at times. He was ticked. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. There are things that we should not do. Yet the Lord testified against Israel, against Judah, by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent you to you by my servants, the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear. When it says they would not hear, they heard, but they wouldn't listen. You know, you ever talk to your child and say, did you hear me? And you know they heard you. You're not asking them, did the auditory things vibrate and you perceive what I said? What you're asking is, are you paying attention? Are you ready to obey? Did you hear me? But they wouldn't hear, but hardened their necks, like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. We need to be really careful sometimes because we could be like these folks. They called the Lord the covenant-keeping Lord, the God that loved them. They decided somehow that they just didn't believe him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. We need to be people who believe God. And please, don't tell anybody you actually believe God if your lifestyle doesn't line up with the truth. If you're living a lifestyle that time after time after time after time after time you find yourselves living at odds with the things that you know are the truth, please don't tell anybody that. So they hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God, and they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies, which he testified against them, and they followed vanity, foolishness, and they became vain and went after the heathen. They chased after crazy people and those that were around about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. Don't do that. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm big and bad and 21. I can do what I want to, when I want to, where I want to. I might even have an out or two. I'll just confess just before I die, and God will fix me up. Verse 16. And they left all the commandments, they just went away from everything, of the Lord their God, and made them molten images. They got serious about this thing. They crafted some things to help them sin. And they made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshiped all the host of heaven and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. Now we don't think of ourselves as sacrificing our children. We don't think of ourselves as putting our children on the altar. We've got lots of babies here today. Let me tell you something. If you are not training up that child in the way that they should go, if you are not living before them in a way that they can imitate that will lead them to God, if you are not doing what it takes for them to have the understanding that they need, then you are sacrificing them to the world. You are sacrificing them to demons. You're putting them on the altar to be roasted in hell for eternity. The reason our children are in the state that they are in today is because of the state that we are in today. But we have the opportunity to make a difference. We can change. We can repent. We can turn away from our sin, and they can see our vibrant lives of faith that we live, and they will always have something to center them. They will always have something to look back to because they know someone that loves them and that they love has found something special. Have you found something special? Does your life demonstrate that you actually believe God? Or does your life say, I don't believe him. I don't trust him. He's not really my God. And I like some of the other solutions the world has for me. What do you believe today? And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord. And to provoke him to anger. Twice in this passage already, they made God mad. I don't think I would want to do that. I don't think I want to tick him off. He's the creator of everything. He's the creator of all. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. And there was none left but the tribe of Judah only. And Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them unto the hand of the spoilers, until he had cast them out of his sight. Now, we know that this is talking about physical Israel. We need to be clear about that. We are not physical Israel. But there's a lesson here for us, that the people of God can so behave that God will be angry with them. Covenant theology is pretty interesting because it's all going somewhere. It is God's story, which culminates, of course, in Jesus Christ. But think about the covenants that we are aware of. There's the covenant of Adam, although some people don't look at it as a covenant. It's some call it the covenant of works, some call it the covenant of grace. Adam was given the dominion over everything. All he had to do was perfectly obey. Well, he didn't. Then there's the Noahic covenant. And he was supposed to continue. He was a type of Adam, and he was supposed to spread the glory of the Lord over all the earth. And, well, he didn't. Then there's the Abrahamic covenant. And in the Abrahamic covenant, God called a man out of the people and made him into someone that believed God, and he was supposed to believe God and show us how to live by faith, and there were some things that God said, I'm going to do for these people as long as they don't do certain things. And, well, they did those certain things. Then there's the Old Covenant, which is like more than I could even begin to discuss here. And the whole Old Covenant is really fascinating because what the Old Covenant does is reveals sin. It reveals that we are sinners. It reveals that we can't get it right. God can directly stand before us, tell us to do something, and we go, It's God doing amazing things. It shows us types. Israel becomes a type of Adam. Then there's the Davidic covenant. That's, well, not this David, the other one. You've heard of him, haven't you? Okay, I don't know. You guys aren't looking like you heard of David, the King David, the Davidic covenant. God promises him that there will be someone that comes from his throne that rules forever. The Davidic covenant. And then the new covenant. New covenant that you see mentioned in Jeremiah and other places in the Old Testament, but is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He is the last Adam. He is the prophet, priest, and king. We see all of this going on, but it makes you wonder, how does this happen? It makes you wonder, where are we in this process? Because all through this, God has an attitude about his people and how they are to behave. It's by grace he saves us. It's by grace you are saved through faith, believing him. When you have faith, you actually act like you believe what he's saying. It's by grace you are saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. We're his masterpiece. We're his design. We are his workmanship, created unto a purpose. We are created unto something that he wants done. We're created unto the thing that he wanted to do from the beginning. We're created unto good works, which is to spread his glory over all the earth. Is your life spreading glory over all the earth? Or when you look at your life, do you see something else? When you look at your life, do you go, uh-oh? We need to grasp the truth that we blow it. We look at these people here in Israel and we say, how could they have been so stupid? How could people of God have messed up this way? I'm on the board of trustees of the Southern Seminary. It's really a cool thing. I enjoy it a lot. And we had a meeting, Zoom meeting, and they just wanted to warn us that there was going to be something in the news, that there was going to be a federal investigation because of the sex abuse that has scandalized the Southern Baptist Convention over the last several years. There are all kinds of different entities within the convention. There's the North American Mission Board, the International Mission Board, the six seminaries, the Women's Missionary Union. There's just a bunch of different organizations that we give to here that do the work of the convention. We send out more missionaries around the world than any other organization. We send out more people to disaster relief than any other organization. Yeah, the Red Cross gets credit, but we man it. So there's just this reality that this big organization, and unfortunately, stacked by humans. And hundreds of people have been hurt. Hundreds of people have been brutalized. Hundreds of people. And it would be easy for us as the religious folk to say, they're just out to get us. You know, it's the Southern District of New York, and you know how liberal that group is. That's why they're investigating us. They're just messing with us. But why of it, so much of it's true? This is a warning shot for us. Don't worry, First Baptist is going to come out fine. But this is a warning shot for us that we are to live holy. We are called to be holy. We are called to live righteously. We are called to be the kind of people that no matter how closely they examine our lives, what they find is a person who is committed to the living God. People that are living in such a way that we glorify His name. We need to be about the business of loving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in such a way that we go around the world and across the street and across the hallway to let people know that Jesus is Lord. We are to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. We need to be disciples that make disciples that make disciples that make disciples, and there not be a whiff life and a whiff of mess in our lives. But we are holier. I mean, we are holy. Yes, we are holy. But we are also human. So what do we do? What do we do when we find that we're the ones that have messed up? What do we do when we haven't been kind? What do we do when our thoughts have not been clear? What do we do when our words have been too sharp? What do we do when we have not thought properly? The Bible tells us that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. First of all, we have to admit that we sin. We can't hide. We can't blame it on somebody else. We can't blame it on circumstance. We can't blame it on all of the other stuff. God wants us to live with an amazing joy. But we will not live with that joy without clean hearts. So we confess our sins. And we need to live every day in line with the truth that we know. I actually wanted to do a whole nother thing today with this. But I didn't get to. I want you to experience the joy of the Lord, believe it or not, in spite of all of these down messages lately. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Today, will you start on the path to that joy by allowing Jesus Christ to show you that He is Lord and Savior? And maybe your life isn't perfect right now, but He's willing to touch you today, to heal you of your hurt, to give you confidence again that you can share the gospel in such a way that life can come. My prayer partner this morning sent me something really special. He prayed that rivers of living water would flow out of me. That's what he wants for you too. That's what God is calling to happen in you. Don't you want to be a fountain of life? You can be. Would you bow your head with me? Dear Lord, so often we have lived at odds with who we are called to be. Today, Lord, we ask that you would help us to be in line with your truth so that your glory is spread throughout all the earth. So this day, we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. He died to pay for my sin. He rose again. And he's making intercession even now for me and for all of us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar is open to you if you would come while the team is playing. You're welcome. But think seriously about where you are with my Jesus.